Hi, my name is Flick Manning, and it's my pleasure to be joining you today to be talking about discomfort and leadership, the ultimate relationship for success. Before I kick off with the actual presentation though, I would like to take a moment to acknowledge that I am speaking to you today from Aboriginal land. I'd like to acknowledge the rightful owners and custodians of the land, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and pay my respect to both elders past and present of Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander descent, and acknowledge that there may be some people who are Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander who could be watching my presentation today. Now let's talk about leadership. And in particular, let's talk about discomfort in leadership. For many, many years, majority of society has geared itself towards ignoring discomfort. And if not ignoring discomfort, then seeing it as a negative thing, something that we should walk away from, avoid, stick our head in the sand and pretend it's not there. We are generally not raised with coping mechanisms for stress or for pain. In fact, we are used to being told that these are indicators that something is bad. Now, the study that I've done has actually shown me that in particular, for those who identify as female, this is one of the contributing factors to why we have a lack of female leadership that appears in many, many industries. It's become a real blocker, this ability to see discomfort actually as something that we need to address, as opposed to something that is an indication that we need to walk away or that something is a little bit more difficult than what we want it to be. So today I'm going to challenge that a little bit and work through some ideas, not just about the concept itself, but neurologically the benefits of actually getting comfortable with being uncomfortable and getting close to discomfort and using it as a conduit to your success, and in fact it being an essential role in your success as a leader. So discomfort is actually in the same alignment as pain. And this is part of where culturally it's become a little bit of an issue for us in terms of dealing with it. When we think of pain, it's not something we want to go through. It's not something that we are driving forward towards going through. In fact, it's what we are commonly taught to ignore, to put our head in the sand, to pretend it doesn't exist. Or if we acknowledge it, we often associate that as being some kind of weakness. And this is a really, really big deal for women in leadership positions. It's already challenging enough to be a female leader, but to have a female leader that is comfortable talking about discomfort, well, sometimes that hasn't gone too well in the past. Thankfully, we have progressed a little bit, and we are now getting to the stage where we are starting to see more female leaders coming through. Those female leaders commonly actually embrace discomfort, and that's the point of this presentation. Those female leaders out there that you are looking at as role models, if you look at their track record, almost all of them are confronting a form of discomfort or pain. They're doing it by owning their vulnerability, stepping into the spotlight, and sharing that openly with their teams. I'm going to be encouraging you to do much the same. So, again, why discomfort? Why do we even need it? Well, if we place discomfort in that same category as pain, and we look at that from a biological and neurological perspective, it's there for a really, really good reason, super important reason actually. It's tied into survival. We know that when something is painful or there's some kind of discomfort, the brain is asking us to look at it. It's actually not asking us to turn away from it. That's what we've culturally trained each other to do. But biologically, it is asking us to bring our attention to it. It is saying something here needs to be addressed. Doesn't necessarily mean that something is wrong or that something is catastrophic going on or that there is something that you should be totally alarmed about. It simply means you need to pay attention to this. So all signs of discomfort and pain are there for that really, really good reason. As female leaders, we need to be able to be more comfortable with tuning into our discomfort, whether it's about our personal leadership style, something going on with our business, our health, something in our personal life, and be prepared to use that as signposts along the way to direct us to look at the challenges that we actually need to face, as opposed to this all immediately meaning something is wrong, I should walk away from this. More often than not, it's actually something you should walk towards. It's a challenge that you need to prepare yourself for. We also know scientifically now that when we confront discomfort or we confront pain, whether it's physical, mental, or emotional, we tend to grow. This is an area of growth. It gets outside of people's comfort zone because, let's face it, pain and discomfort is not comfortable. It's the complete opposite of that. And that is where most of our growth comes from. It's where we build our resilience. It's where we tap into creativity. It's where we start to think from a more human, more empathetic and compassionate point of view, where we start to pull on the resources and network around us in order to help us to grow and to thrive. These are all really positive things, and I'm sure that you can draw the links between that and leadership itself. So why have we steered away from it so often? Well, again, this comes down to those cultural things. We have been taught to steer away from it. Women in particular have been taught to steer away from it. Remembering that if we show any sign of passion, often we're considered to be over emotional, or we're considered, if we're being strong, to be the B word. So this is where we have trained ourselves to be really, really quiet, to hold on to emotion, to hold on to discomfort, and to steer in the opposite direction. I'm encouraging all of you that are listening today to actually do the opposite. Your discomfort is actually a signal for the challenge that you need to face more often than not. It's actually a sign that there is something that you need to pay attention to. So the question then becomes, how do you recognize when it's a discomfort that you're required to face in order to grow as a leader? There's some pretty easy ways to actually recognize this, and that's because the brain already does this for us. Most people that are experiencing a form of discomfort that is an inherent challenge that is worth tackling will find that they can't stop thinking about a particular subject or an experience. So, for example, let's say that you went into a board meeting. Maybe you pitched your company to somebody and you got some feedback that really ruffled your feathers, made you feel uncomfortable, didn't go quite the way that you wanted it to go. After the initial feelings of rejection and hurt, things that are perfectly natural to feel, even in business, there's maybe one or two words, a particular facial expression, some kind of body language, something that stood out to you from that interaction, and it will circle in your brain over and over and over again. In fact, no matter how many times you try to ignore it, no matter how many times you try and go around it, it's going to keep popping up in your mind. And if you don't do something about it, it may then become a physical reaction. You may find that you end up developing a tension headache, where you feel a little bit queasy, maybe a rash appears, maybe you're feeling lethargic and tired. Find yourself grabbing that extra chocolate bar or that extra cup of coffee because the fatigue has hit you a little harder that day. These are all signs that is pointing you towards a challenge that you need to face, not one that you need to ignore. There's a very, very big difference between discomfort and total fear. Obviously, if you start having panic attacks or moving into that category, obviously there is a layer to this that perhaps requires need more work. So I'm not saying push into things that are making you feel absolutely terrified, but if you're starting to get just some of those initial signals, whether it's physical, mental, or emotional, like something that you just can't quite scratch that's always there gnawing away at you, this is a sign of something that you need to actually face as a leader. In those moments, I encourage you to sit down and write down or have a brain dump of whatever it is that's coming up in your mind. Get it out of your mind so that it comes out of your body. Storing it, it's not going to help you very much because feelings only have two states, expression or repression. Repression does not help. It will not help you physically, it will not help you mentally, it will not help you emotionally, and it certainly won't help your leadership skills. So work out what it is that's actually bothering you and work out what that challenge inherently is. It often indicates the thing that you need to be working on. So that's your first point of call. Identify what the challenge is. Secondly, be strategic. How can you be strategic around discomfort, I hear you say? Pretty easy. We often get caught up, particularly women, there's a whole survey that has been recently done on this that shows that we get caught up in cultural discomfort more so than our male counterparts. This is because we are naturally community-minded. Now, at this particular point in time, especially with COVID going on and we are attached to our screens like it's nobody's business, we are constantly manifesting and looking at quite often catastrophic data. We're looking at the state of society, the way that people are feeling. We are investing in it over and over again. It's covered in every news bulletin. We're getting constant emergency updates. We know already that we're under threat. This is reinforcing in the brain over and over and over again that everyone is uncomfortable about the exact same things. But the reality is, if you actually pull back, we are not uncomfortable about the same things. Everyone has got their own level of discomfort, and it's about a whole range of experiences that are going on. You don't need to invest your business energy in things that are not a challenge actually designed for you. So this means that just because everybody else in your industry, perhaps, for example, is now working from home and doing X, Y, and Z online, does not mean that that's a challenge that your business necessarily has to face. However, you will find that you will naturally go towards what the entire industry is doing. So what I would recommend is to take some time to really understand which challenges are inherently important to you and your business. One way you can do this is to reduce your screen time or reduce your contact with the wider cultural discomfort so that you can sit back and assess your own. This allows you to tune in to the things that won't leave your head. Those little moments, those little interactions, those ideas that keep gnawing away at you, whether it's things about something in your team or a project that you're doing, whether it's starting something new or closing off a project before you launch it because it's just not right. Whatever it is, it's sitting there below the surface trying to talk to you. Those are the ones strategically worth putting your energy and effort into them, because they are the challenges that are inherent to you, the ones that you can rise to and the ones that are going to suit you best. Trust yourself. That's why you're a leader in the first place, because you have great ideas. So disconnect from cultural discomfort. Put the phone down, reduce your screen time a little bit. Ensure that you have some space and that you include some space in your day between all those Zoom meetings, between all those catch-ups online with your team, and ensure that you are sitting down and actually thinking about what is a challenge that I need to face, not what anyone else has to face. That's really, really important. You can do this through other things. If it's not sitting down still or putting your phone down, even doing a simple breathing technique will actually help you to disengage your sympathetic nervous system or fight or flight so that you can start to think more clearly, have more cognitive control, be more productive, and work out what it is that is worth spending some time on. A really, really simple one is called the calm breathing technique. Inhaling through the nose for a count of four, and then exhaling through the mouth for a count of four. Doing this repetitively, over and over again for a couple of minutes. If you really want to boost things along, add some music in the background. Boost those natural neurotransmitters and gets the brain working even better. That in turn is going to help the physical self stay well. So it's really important to remember from a neurological point of view that anything that we think changes the cells in our body. We actually have proof of that now. So it is not just this idea in our head that their mind has a lot of control over the body. It absolutely does. And the other way around. As a leader, it is worth remembering that it is your body and brain that help you to do the job that you're doing. It's not one or the other. It's not something separate to that. It is both being actively involved. So tune in to yourself, provide yourself with some skills and some space to stay well, and you'll find that your brain and your body will do the rest. There's no point in you working 12 to 14 hours a day when you can get the same stuff done in 6 to 8. And truly, that's what can happen when you tune into your well-being. So clear the space, drop the phone, the screen time, drop all of that outside discomfort, tune into yourself, ensure that you are well, and you'll work out what you're actually supposed to be working on. So let's go through a little bit of a myth that used to go hand in hand with leadership. And this comes actually from post-World War I and World War II and the Great Depression. So it ties very much into where we were culturally a very long time ago. It has nothing to do with today's society. Back then, when everybody came back from war and everyone had had to work out how to deal with rationing and hardship and loss and grief, and lack of finances and all of the other things that came inherently with that, all of the great sacrifices and compromises that were met, meant that people did not have the time or the energy, and they actually didn't understand psychologically that people needed time to recover. They needed people to get back to work. And that meant that there was a no tolerance rule applied across cultural society throughout Western society that said showing emotion, talking about vulnerability, expressing that perhaps that you don't know what you're supposed to be doing was no go. You couldn't have a leader stepping up during wartime, for example. Churchill's not going to stand up and say, don't really know what to do, super kind of uncomfortable at this situation. But that was relevant for then. It's not relevant for now. So it's important to remember that as we're going through as leaders, we need to let go of this concept that we have to have the answer all the time and that we have to be right all the time. That there is no room to show any kind of emotion or vulnerability. And in fact, we need to let go of this concept that any of that is linked to weakness whatsoever. We actually know now statistically and scientifically that that's completely incorrect. The more authentic that you are, the more that you can demonstrate to your team that you are comfortable with vulnerability, that you are capable of asking for help when you need it, and capable of looking after yourself and showing your humanness, the better you are as a leader. The more that you are trusted, the more likely that your team is to work efficiently with you, the more productive that you entirely become as a group, and the more faith and loyalty that they will give you. This taps into a few really fundamental human factors, so I want to cover those off. First of all, we are community animals, and yes, we are animals. So we like to build communities, and women in particular are really, really good at this. We build communities super well. It's built into us. And we pay a lot of attention to what is happening within our community. Your team, your business, even working from home right now, is a community. It is a little group, a little family that you have built as a leader. And they are looking to you for leadership, obviously. But what they're also looking for is a sign that their humanness, their needs are being taken into consideration. So when you demonstrate as a leader that there are times that you don't have the answer all on your own, times that perhaps this process has gotten a little bit too much and you might actually need some help, signs you can show them that actually it's good to stop work at 5 p.m. and ensure that you are eating adequately, that you are exercising, that you are doing something for your mental health, that you take time out when you need it. All of these things will actually help your team to feel safe, seen, valued, and heard. These are the four human drivers that tie into how we as animals work in a community space. If your team feel safe, seen, valued, and heard because of the demonstration of you showing these things, then they will work even more effectively for you. They will stand up and advocate for you. They will provide you help when you need it. You'll have an increased sense of loyalty. They'll be much more productive, more likely to make better decisions, because they too will in turn know that, hey, when they need a mental health break, they can take it. When it's time to do something for their physical health, they can do it. When they don't know the answer, they can ask for help. None of these things are weaknesses. None of these things are bad. All of these things are positive. All of these things lead to greater success, greater scalability and sustainability of your business and your health. And at the end of the day, no matter what business or what industry you're in, you are building it off people. And that includes you. You have to have a set of rules as a leader that not just applies to you, but applies to your whole team. So really think about your well-being as being a huge factor. It should be the predominant factor in your leadership style. One of the most common things that I saw, certainly in Silicon Valley when I spent some time there, was that there was this one idea around leadership for the founder or for the managing team, and then there was a completely different one for the rest of the team. And what often happened during that process of the first 2 to 5 years of businesses being built was that as they scaled, the leaders were scaling in a completely different speed and direction to the rest of the team. And this would often actually cause catastrophic issues that would mean the collapse of the entire business. You've got to remember that your team need to come with you on the process of evolution and scaling. And the way that you do that is to remember that they are human and you are human. They will mirror everything that you do. So if you want to see healthy, good, sustainable behavior, you want more productive staff, you want them to come in energized and enthusiastic, you don't want to be paying overtime or shelling out money because there's been mistakes made repetitively. All of this is going to come back to your ability to face discomfort and to show your team how to work through it. So for example, this may mean saying to your team when a problem is raised, I do not know at this point in time how we are going to best tackle this problem. I would like to take 30 seconds to have a breath and to restock. And then I would love to hear group ideas of how we can tackle this together. In that process, you have shown that you are a human, that you need time to check in with yourself and take a breath, and that you're going to listen actively to the group to help you to move forward. They are part of the business, part of the success of the business. This is so incredibly, incredibly important. As women, we have learned to back away from all of this. Don't show these signs, as though all of this is weak and all of this is bad. It's not. Scientifically, it's not. Statistically, it's not. Don't buy into these myths that have been perpetuated out in the world. Buy into fact, and this is fact. So the healthier that you are, the more that you can share these things with the team, the better that everything is going to get. There are a few different hacks that you can use to help you to become more comfortable with the concept of the role of discomfort in leadership. Remembering that discomfort, first of all, is both a warning and also a driving force. It does not necessarily mean that that warning means something terrible or bad is going to happen if you follow through with chasing that path of discomfort or embracing it at all. In fact, more often than not, that comes from our least evolved part of the brain, the amygdala. It still thinks we're being chased around by woolly mammoths and saber-toothed tigers and that we need to get into a cave every 5 seconds. We need to tune in as leaders to our more evolved parts of our brain. They know that we are not under threat all of the time and that some of these warnings come from an old, unevolved place. While all of that's important and we need that survival mechanism, of course, it's what stops us from stepping out into traffic or falling over the edge of a balcony when we look over it. Those things are important. But in everyday decision-making as a business leader, a lot of that stuff can be quite misleading. So remember, it's not necessarily just a warning, it can also be a driving force. It indicates that there is something for you to look at. So as mentioned before, you can tune into the things that constantly pop up in your mind. If you have that pen and paper with you now, I want you just to take a minute or so to write down some of the things in your business or even in your personal life that keep circling around. It could be a moment, an experience, a memory, an idea that you just can't seem to give up. It's gnawing away at you. I can guarantee you've probably got at least one of those things. Just take a minute now while there's some music playing to jot down any of those things. Identify what discomforts are triggering you so you can work out whether it's a challenge that you actually need to take. We'll be back in a moment. You've written down any of the things that might be triggering you. Think about now whether these are cultural discomforts. In other words, a comfort you have taken on as a result of looking at and perpetuating and reinforcing discomfort that everybody is feeling. So is it something that everybody in your industry is starting to do and you feel like you need to do it as a result of that? Or is it because it is something that you really feel intuitively you need to face? It's really gnawing at you and you need to do it. Take another 30 seconds to sit down and reread what you've written and think about, is it my discomfort or is it a cultural discomfort? Separate the two. Put a circle around the things that are actually challenges for you, particularly if they keep on coming up. Sometimes they thread the whole way through your career. If they're really gnawing at you, it's probably something personal to you and to your business. Circle those things. Back in a moment. So now that you've identified the challenges that are inherent to you, the things that are discomforts that are going to help you to improve that leadership style for yourself and for your team, it's now worth thinking about how are some of the other ways that you can encourage yourself and your team to develop skills around using discomfort for your betterment. One of those is actually moving your body. So I know we're in the fitness industry, that should be a fairly obvious one, but we all still at some point have probably mirrored the old sitting down at a desk and doing non-stop 1 to 2 hour meetings. These are not great for the brain. Your brain does not have that length of concentration. It's 30 to 45 minutes actually. So you wanna keep those meetings short. Stand up if you can, move around if you can. All of these things encourage your brain to do its job more effectively. So if you are looking for solutions to problems, there is a discomfort or a pain point that's going on with your business, sitting down and festering over it and talking nonstop for 2 hours is probably not going to get you nearly as far as standing up, even when you're on a video call, for 20 to 30 minutes. The actual discomfort of your body being on its feet and constantly in motion encourages different neurological activity, different kinds of chemicals to move through the body, making you more efficient, more productive, and much more likely to come to a solid solution really quickly. You can encourage your team to do the same. Shave down those meeting times. You do not need to be on Zoom calls back to back to back throughout the day. Save yourself a lot of time. Reduce the amount of fatigue you're going through, and it will also help to reduce stress over any pain points. So move your way to the solution. Encourage you as a leader to allow your team to see you do all of these things. Leadership is not you going away in a corner and privately doing all of this stuff so that you can come up with answers and solutions all on your own. Leadership is knowing that your team is an active part of that, recognizing their humanness and allowing them to see you as you grow and as you stumble. Remember that that discomfort is definitely a part of leadership. Allow them to see you do it. Yes, it will feel uncomfortable at first. It will feel super strange, and it's certainly not what you were probably taught as a child. But you're an adult. You're in a position to make logical decisions. Come back to the science of it. Talk to your team about it and allow them to see you grow, because then they'll grow too. They won't be afraid to grow in front of you, and that's wonderful. That's going to mean great things for your business. Huge portion of success comes down to your ability to do that, to encourage your staff to do that. Music goes a long way to boosting your natural neurotransmitters, as I mentioned, so I encourage you again to use music on your meetings, on your calls. If you're struggling with a discomfort point when something is raised and you think, oh, I don't want to have to deal with this thing, pop some music on. Whether it's soft piano music, some acoustic background, some delicious Moby playing, whether it's death metal, whatever it is that moves the needle for you, some disco, some Jamiroquai, get into it. Tune it up. It will make a big difference again to how fast you're able to actually come up with a solution and how healthy that solution ends up being for you and your team. Being a leader is complex. First of all, you have a team to lead, and that's really, really important. In fact, most leaders spend most of their time working out how do they lead their team. But the reality is that the best way to lead your team is to remember that you first need to learn how to lead yourself. They actually go hand in hand. An effective leader knows how to lead themselves first. Just in the same way that when you're on that aeroplane and you pop your mask on before you put somebody else's mask on, is the same concept in leadership. So show them that you are willing to confront discomfort. Do it healthily, knowing that movement, that breathing, that your mental health, that time is all part of that equation. Knowing that sometimes you will fall in a hole and have to climb back out of it. You will not have the answer every single time. It's just impossible to have the answer every single time. You will sometimes make decisions that will backfire. These are all inherent parts of leadership, and they are uncomfortable. This discomfort is not bad. This discomfort is your gateway to growth. In fact, you cannot grow without discomfort. So I encourage you to continue embracing that. And as you keep facing this discomfort, each time as you think, oh, this is so hard, remember, you cannot lead others before you can lead yourself. So remember to lead yourself. Look after yourself. And then the rest of your team will be able to do it too. This will make you a great leader. This will give you a successful business. This will give you the quality of life that should go hand in hand with having a business instead of being stressed out and burnt out and freaked out. It all comes down to you. So I hope that you will spend some time working out what your discomfort triggers are, working out whether or not they are cultural discomforts or your own, spending some time approaching them with breath, with space, with movement. Remember that it's not about going away in a cubby hole and coming out with all the ideas on your own. Allow yourself to be human. This is your best bet for not just embracing discomfort, but being the absolute best leader that you can be and having the most successful business that you possibly can.